we present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Peter Jones, and Tim Rice in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome to Just a Minute. And as you've just heard, we have three of our regular players of the game, Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, and Peter Jones. And we welcome back in the guest chair someone who's played with great success before, that great wordsmith, that great lyricist, and I think a fine exponent player of Just a Minute. It is Tim Rice. And, as usual, I will ask them if they can speak for just a minute on the subject that I will give them and hope that they will try and do that without hesitating, repeating themselves, or deviating from the subject. And according to how well they do that, they will gain or lose points. And let us begin the show this week with Kenneth Williams. Kenneth, the opening subject is the opening shot. So will you tell us something about that subject in the game, starting now?
The opening shot in a film is all important to the actor because its characterization must remain consistent throughout. So when it begins with the opening shot, he must carry forward throughout the entire sequence. And no coward on the set telling an actor to come on playing the part of a colonel told him to be very military in bearing, and he didn't get what he wanted. So he eventually said, a little more Marshall
and less Snellgrove.
Rather witty. And of course that man, for an opening shot, always produced something pretty marvellous out of his tucker bag or repertoire. The Australians, of course, would use...
Clement Freud has challenged.
Repetition of course.
Oh, you are mean, aren't you? It was so entertaining as well. But he did actually say, of course, before. So, Clement, it's a correct challenge. By the rules of the game, I give you a point and give you the subject and tell you that there are 12 and a half seconds left on the opening shot, starting now.
The opening shot in a war usually accounts for someone who fights on one side or the other. It used to be done with a bow and arrow, then a gun, and now machine ammunition...
Well, at the end of 60 seconds, the ambassador blows his whistle, and that tells us that the time is up, and whoever is speaking at that moment gains an extra point. And, of course, it was Clement Freud, so at the end of that round, he is the only one to have scored. Clement, will you take the next round? The subject is getting locked in. I don't know whether you have any personal experience, but would you talk on the subject in the game, starting now?
I haven't had any locked in for quite a long time. Pectin... fructose and dextrose I get a great deal of, although recently there's been an enormous shortage of sausage filling and other meats.
Tim Rice has challenged.
Hesitation.
Absolutely. I'm not surprised after the rubbish he was giving us. Tim, you have the subject of getting locked in. There are 44 and a half seconds starting now.
It is a true myriad of emotions that overcomes anybody in this ghastly situation. For a start, there is nausea, then there is panic, then there is the desperate...
And Clement Freud challenge.
Three, then there is it.
Then there is. Clement, you have the subject, another point, and 28 seconds. Getting locked in, starting now.
There was a song which I remember from my youth, which went, oh dear, what can the matter be? Three old ladies locked in a public convenience.
Tim Rice has challenged.
I know he's pausing for riotous applause, but again, there was hesitation. I mean, he stopped dead.
No, he didn't stop dead. No, I don't think the drama had reached such proportions that you could have called it a pause. Now, I will give him the benefit of the doubt on this occasion and let him continue with 17 seconds on getting locked in, Clement, starting now.
If Nicholas Parsons were not locked into this theatre, he would have got out and been replaced many years ago. But as it is, we go on and ever further upwards with the same chairman boring us away, giving amazing...
Peter Jones has challenged.
Well, he was deviating because he was being abusive about the chairman. I don't think he should be abusive on the air. At any
exactly.
Rate, you know. I mean, we all have our opinions about the chairman. But we must stifle them.
Yes.
You think that should be left to other people and not Clement to be abusive, then?
Yeah, I think. Yeah, practically anybody, really.
Actually, whoever challenged then after that abuse, I would have given it against Clement. But actually, I do agree, quite seriously, he was deviating from the subject, getting locked in and going on about the chairman. So, Peter, you've got in, and nice to hear from you, with 4 seconds on getting locked in, starting now.
My wife was locked in the lavatory on the night that I was appearing in the West End in a play. Four seconds is not nearly enough. It was
no, did she ever
story.
See the play?
No, she wasn't trying to get to the play. But the decorators left the knobs off the door, you see. They're painting the thing, and the spindle that goes through was missing. And she had to knock on the window, and a policeman eventually arrived and released her, but much too late to... I had to rush home. Anyway, it's rather a long story. I should really be on other program altogether.
Peter, you were speaking when the whistle went then, and so
you've
got an extra point, and you're now in third place, ahead of Kenneth Williams, one behind Tim Rice and two behind our leader, Clement Freud, and you also begin the next round. The subject is my undoing. We've heard about your wife's... but that is actually the next subject that's come up, and there are 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
I'm not sure whether it means my zip fasteners, buttons, or whatever, or whether it refers to my reputation, which has not so far been undone.
Tim Rice's challenge.
I think there was a bit of hesitation.
I think there was a lot of hesitation, actually. I think you were generous and go as long as he did, but... the hesitation was his undoing, and that is the subject, my undoing, and there are 47 seconds for you, Tim, starting now.
When I was a young lad, I was tipped to be a future Einstein, but unfortunately I heard one day a gramophone record revolving at 78 revolutions per minute by a young gentleman from Tupelo, Mississippi, called Elvis Presley, and from that moment all thought of serious study flew out the window, out of the... Fenestra.
He didn't know whether to say the French or the Spanish version of it. But Kenneth got in with a challenge. What was it, Kenneth? Oh, indeed it was, but I have to hear just to know.
Was the projection all right, Mr. Williams?
Yeah, not bad.
It's getting better, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. 29 seconds are left for you, Kenneth, on my undoing, starting now.
My undoing occurred just outside Bombay, place called Kalyan. I was on night guard outside the armory, and the other sentry said, "Do you fancy a fag? It does keep the mosquitoes away." Like a fool, I started to inhale, and from the shadows appeared a colonel. "I was smoking on duty. I was caught, you see, in mid-puff, so to speak. The other bloke..."
The idea of Kenneth Williams being caught in mid-puff, I must say, is something to be treasured.
True, Nicholas, and the other bloke that had made me do it, it was his fault I had the fag, he swallowed his. And the officer said, "You both," he said, "no, sir, no, sir," and stood there. Of course, he'd swallowed the whole thing. I mean, you can do it, apparently, if you do it quick, it doesn't actually hurt the larynx. But I'd have been frightened to death of putting a red hot thing into my mouth.
Yeah?
Johnny Lucky wasn't a pipe.
But, Kenneth, you kept going till the whistle went, and you are now in the lead. And, Kenneth, you begin the next round, and the subject is sure, and one that Ian Messon, I'm sure, has chosen specially for you, sigillography. Can you tell us something about that rather unusual subject in the game, starting now?
Sigillography is the art of designing seals, the things that are often in rings, sometimes called signets. The Great Seal of England...
Clement Freud has challenged.
Seals?
He said seals and the Great Seal. Ah. One was plural and the other one was singular.
You want to wash your ears out, you great fool.
So, Kenneth, you keep the subject, and there are 45 seconds left, starting now.
I designed one myself, the coat of arms of my family it was to be, and I did a Welsh hen being goosed with a ballpoint pen, and suddenly you come a waltzing Matilda with me, which I thought traced the lineage, so to speak, rather cleverly. Very amusing. But when I submitted it to the College of Heraldry, they said, no, you've got to be a man. If substance got unprepared, I said, I'm a bit short. They said, well, try high heels.
Tim Rice has challenged you.
I think deviation.
Why?
Well, he was getting right off whatever the subject is about.
No, he was on to the College of Heralds, his bizarre seal that he designed. And
no, he was talking about his frustrations of being a man of small stature.
But this was only within the College of Heralds, which has got to do with seals.
Well...
And they advised him to get high heels.
Yeah, that was deviation. I would have given it on that.
And then he went on to deviate about high heels.
Kenny, I don't think you sufficiently deviated to have committed the error within the game. So you continue with 15 seconds on... I don't know whether it's sigillography or sigillography.
Sigi.
Sigi, right. Silly... Oh, I can't say it at all now. Well,
Sigi,
you said
sigillography.
Yes. Sigillography. Yes. And 15 seconds starting now.
One of the great men in sigillography was, of course, Eric Gill, a brilliant and economical designer whose work can be seen in the very portals of the BBC. I know.
Clement Freud, a challenge.
BBC.
We've had that weeks and weeks ago. It was already established then.
Last time I gave that as a correct challenge, and I've really got to be consistent, so I must give it
to you. Well, you won't have anything to offer on sigillography. There's nothing about it. It's a nitwit. Well, you know very well.
He's only got 2 seconds in which to try.
That's why he's done it.
I know.
You fall upon it. He's the one on the programme who sits and insults you, says what a rotten chairman you are, and then you go and give him it within 2 seconds. He's talking about asking for it.
Well, it does illustrate that whatever people say, I do try and be fair within the game, and being fair, and I've got to say that Clement has a correct challenge in 2 seconds, starting now.
Sigillographers, if you look them up in yellow pages.
Well, in spite of Clement Roy getting an extra point as the whistle went, Kenneth Williams is still in the lead, one ahead, and Tim Rice follows Clement Freud, and Peter Jones is one behind Tim, and Clement Freud begins the next round. The subject, Clement, witticisms. Will you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
In this world in which we live, one witticism per person is probably enough. In the Wallet of Kai Lung, the author...
Kenneth Williams, a challenge.
Two inns in the world in which we live, in the book.
Kenneth, and you complain about miserable challenges.
You started it off, mate. If you want to...
No one has ever, in all the 17 years we've played this game, challenged on in before, unless when they've done it more
than 3 or 4 times. Well, into every life a little rain must fall, and you're obviously rich.
Well, as the audience enjoyed your challenge, I will give you a bonus point.
No, I've got to get the subject. He said in twice, and you are not allowed to repeat it. It's in the room.
All right.
Isn't it? Don't you agree? Yeah. They all agree.
Well, having whipped up all your audience that you already brought in with you into a state of neurotic frenzy so that they're going to be on your side whatever you say, and as it was a correct challenge, I hope you won't challenge on every repetition of in from now on, anybody, but we will give it to you on this occasion because it is correct and tell you that you have 52 seconds on witticism starting now.
There was a young girl of Connecticut who signaled the train with a petticoat, which the papers defined as presence of mind but a singular absence of etiquette, which is very witty and, of course, is composed by who? No less than that brilliant lyricist, Ogden Nash. As a matter of fact, it was long a wish of mine that I would one day actually be in the presence of such a wit as him. And in fact...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
A repetition of wit.
Yes, no less a wit than Ogden Nash.
Oh, he's right. Yes, I'm very sharp. Straight out of the knife box. Very good.
So, Peter, you have witticisms in 23 seconds, starting now.
One of the best I've heard recently was about Noel Coward, who was directing a film, and this actor wasn't quite as military as he'd wanted to be, and he said, please, a little more Swan and less Edgar.
And, nice challenge.
Yes, I think that really was a hesitation.
I think I would be inclined to agree with you there, Tim. Yes, definitely.
I didn't think there was quite such a long time to go. I thought it was only a few seconds, is it?
There's 4 seconds to go. Mind you pause for about three, so well, seven.
I think 4 seconds
stop.
Will be plenty of time for to display the whip.
Yes, I think you were waiting for your round on Swan and Edgar, actually.
Oh, no, no. I know you wouldn't pay for a round if I stayed here all night.
Oh, I thought you said you challenged him for being rude to me, and you said nobody else was. Oh, Peter, you've let us down. 4 seconds for you, Tim, on witticism starting now.
One need not go further than the confines of this very studio to find a fantastic...
So Tim Rice is speaking as the whistle went, got the extra points. A very close contest this week. Tim Rice and Clement Freud equal 2 points behind our leader, still Kenneth Williams, and 2 ahead of Peter Jones, who also begins the next round. Peter, the subject is unconventional sources of energy. There's quite a few in this room, particularly on the panel, and would you talk on the subject for 60 seconds, if you can, starting now?
Well, when I had small children, I always used to think that it would be a good idea to harness the tremendous amount of energy that they generated running up and down stairs uselessly and screaming the place down. I tried to design...
Tim Rice challenged.
Repeat of dine. He said, running up and down stairs and screaming the place down. 2 downs.
Oh, I thought you said dine the second time. It got
doing
quite
posh accent.
Yes. So he did
but
say
there were
down.
Two down.
Yes, there are 47 seconds for you now, Tim, on unconventional sources of energy starting now.
One of the most unconventional sources of energy in this country, and perhaps one of the most extraordinary we've ever seen.
Peter Jones.
A repetition of one.
The most. The whole sentence, one of the most, yes.
Tough at the top.
Well done, Peter. 41 seconds on unconventional sources of energy starting now.
I designed a very pretty treadmill with pictures of Noddy on the side and made it as pleasant as I could, played appropriate music, but I couldn't persuade these children to get onto it.
Clement Freud has challenged.
Repetition of children.
Yes, you did say children when you were talking before. You referred to your children going up and down stairs.
Well, I was talking before, yes. Mm. Quite right, yes. I'm glad you remembered that. might easily have slipped one.
You do mean you're glad?
The excitement of the show.
You would have rather I'd forgotten it, and then you would have got the point.
No, I would, yes.
Yeah, but I'd have got a lot of letters.
I'm too far behind. I don't think there's any hope at all, is there?
What of?
Of me getting in the
first
three.
Yes, you're only 1 point behind the others.
What?
You're only 2 points behind the leader, Kenneth. You've got a lot of points in that round.
Really?
You're doing well. Keep it up.
I will. Yes.
Keep pitching, as they say.
Yes, I will. Clement,
you have the subject with after correct challenge and 26 seconds unconventional sources of energy, starting now.
Chicken manure is one of the more unconventional sources of energy. And I believe...
Peter Jones has challenged.
I don't think it is. It's used all over the place. they make gas out of it. What?
Yes, I think that's a very good challenge. Yes.
Thanks very much.
Yes. To a farmer, it is a very conventional source
Absolutely.
Of energy. Not
right
unconventional
on the mill
at all. Well
yes.
done, Peter. 21 seconds for you on the subject. Stop. Clement Freud has challenged.
Hesitation.
I haven't said now. Another point to Peter Jones. Peter, the subject is still with you. 21 seconds starting now.
I like the idea of trying to harness the tide so that...
Peter, Tim Rice has challenged.
That's the second time Peter said harness.
Yes, you did harness in the first time you were talking about...
Ages ago.
I know he was. I have to remember these things. You talked about trying to harness the energy of your young children. You were challenged by children with Clement, and you got on the harness
this
time.
Yes, we're still on that old subject.
Yes. So Tim's got in there with 17 seconds on unconventional sources of energy, starting now.
This is a subject about which I have not an awful lot to say, so I'm just going to hesitate.
Clement Williams has challenged.
Well, you don't want it. He said he's going to hesitate, so you don't want the subject.
So
he's deviating from discussing it.
No, I was just about to launch.
But you said you don't know anything about it. You say you're going to hesitate. That's what you said. So you don't want something.
He can establish he doesn't know much about it.
No, he said, I'm going to hesitate.
But he hadn't actually hesitated. And I wasn't going to hesitate either. I was going to hesitate in my mind before I actually said something I didn't understand.
He hasn't, strictly speaking, Kenneth, deviated from the subject on the card, so he still has it. Tim, you continue with 13 seconds on the subject, starting now.
I fully concur with the wise decision made earlier in this programme that chicken manure is not really an unconventional...
Peter Jones has challenged.
Well, that's deviating, and it's a repetition, because he's just repeating what I was saying. That is we don't want to hear that he thoroughly agrees with what some other speaker
is. That is the most devious challenge I've ever heard.
Do you think that's devious? Do you think that's a devious challenge?
Yes, because he's still sticking to the subject.
Yes.
Which is on the car.
Saying that he agrees with what the previous speaker said.
It was a pre...
But he was still on the subject of unconventional sources of energy.
Well, what a pathetic lack of invention.
It's almost as bad as yours about that Noel Coward in the opening shot, wasn't it?
No, that was a comment.
There are 7 seconds for Tim Rice on the subject starting now.
I would far rather discuss the extremely unconventional source of energy which can be obtained from the droppings of gerbils.
And wait a minute. Clement, you challenged just a fifth of a second before he got there.
Repetition of droppings.
I never said droppings. When did I say droppings?
Well, as I didn't hear a word because Kenneth was acting up so much and the audience were laughing at him, I don't know whether he did say droppings.
I think Kenneth's given up listening because the battery on his hearing aid has dropped. So he can't hear anything.
I will put this to the judgment of our audience, who probably can hear better when things are going. Did you hear him say droppings twice?
I heard it, yes. I thought he said it three times, as a matter of
fact. Somebody's dropped something over there, there's no doubt about that. 1/5 of a second with you, Tim, starting now.
Hello there.
Go! So, Tim Rice was speaking as the whistle went, got an extra point, and he's now got 11 points. He's 3 ahead of Clement Freud and Kenneth Williams and Peter Jones, who are all equal on 8. And, Tim, it's your turn to begin. Unblocking the kitchen sink is the subject, and can you talk on it in the game starting now?
The other day, I walked into the kitchen to find with horror, abject despair, that the sink was blocked with chicken manure. Or droppings. This is extremely hard to get out of the sink, and what you have to do is to call up that firm that advertises on the underground, which has a long plug thing with a plunger at the end, and you get this little man to come round with his van, with his...
Peter Jones, a chance.
A deviation. Why? I don't believe for a minute that his sink was blocked by chicken droppings.
We have a lot of chickens at home, mate.
Well, I know, but you don't keep him in a kitchen. If you do, it's probably against...
Very devious as well.
What?
Very devious to keep them in the kitchen as well.
Cruelty to animals, apart from anything else.
I don't believe he has chickens in the kitchen, and I don't believe that's what blocked his drain. So, Peter, you have 40 seconds on the subject, starting now.
Spirits of salts can actually unblock it if it's full of fat and grease, things of that kind. On the other hand, a kind of plunger thing.
Tim Rice challenge.
A brace of kinds.
Yes, you did say kind, another kind.
Let's not waste Tim. Time. Get on with the next one.
Yeah. 30 seconds. Unblocking.
I really admit I did repeat kind, and I'd like you to accept that.
You have no alternative.
Arguments, do we?
All this magnanimous attitude, you have no alternative. I'm afraid. Tim has the subject back 30 seconds starting now.
It is very important to have clean hands when you tackle this extremely complex and dangerous task.
Clement Freud.
It isn't.
It isn't. I quite agree. The hands can be as filthy as you want before you unblock the thing. So, Clement, you have the subject in 25 seconds starting now.
The only thing that is really important is to have a blocked up sink. Otherwise, you're pretty foolish going about unblocking it. There are a number of things that you can do, one of them being to look at the yellow pages or in other telephone directories and phone someone specifically able or capable or even expert at discharging that particular job. Spirit of salt is not a bad idea, and a plunger.
So Clement Freud kept going to the whistle, went. He's now in second place ahead of Peter Jones and Kenneth Williams in that order, but still a little behind our leader, Tim Rice. Kenneth, will you take the next subject? It is ESP. Will you tell us something about that in the game starting now?
This is part of the fashion for initials. That for any subject, you know. ESP is extrasensory.
Tim challenged.
I think there was hesitation there, didn't
you? No. He was just doing one of his Kenneth Williams vocal...
Bad projection.
Yes, bad projection, vocal conundrums, what was the word? Contabulations was the word I was searching for. 52 seconds are still with you, Kenneth, on ESP, starting now.
And the assumption is that you can actually get messages to other people with no visible means of transmitting the aforementioned things. But, of course, I have grave doubts about this. I don't think, when they say thought transference occurred, that it's true. I'd have to be assured that there was no code being used, you see.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Repetition of used.
Yes, you did. You repeat the word used before. So Peter has the subject, and 19 seconds on ESP starting now.
It's quite obvious to me that there's absolutely nothing in this extrasensory perception and the ability that some people claim to have to transfer their thoughts to others. If it were, then there would be no telephones. Nobody would go on paying the British Telecom.
Well, Peter Jones was speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point, and that delightful thought of his brings the show to an end this week. Kenneth was in fourth place, alas, but only 1 point behind Clement Freud, who was only 1 point behind Peter Jones, who was only 2 points behind our winner. So you might say it was almost a draw, but not quite, and our guest came to triumph, and our winner this week, Tim Rice. We hope that you have enjoyed listening to Just a Minute. We hope our studio audience has enjoyed it, and you will want to tune in again next week when we take the air and we play this delightful and ridiculous but highly enjoyable game. Goodbye. Thank you very much.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Pete Atkin.